Welcome to the Intuition Conversations. My name is Megan Field. I'm an intersectional social justice activist, an intuitive embodiment facilitator, a Koya teacher, a licensed practical magic coach, and an Irish Celtic moon mana practitioner. I'm a Gemini polymath with an insatiable passion for learning, empowerment, and connecting people to others, and most importantly, to themselves. Each week, I will be exploring topics around intuition, how to connect with and trust your internal GPS, that inner compass, which is the sacred container of all your innate wisdom and power. This podcast is an opportunity to pool knowledge from a wide range of amazing people and practitioners and bring together a worldwide community of intuitive souls. I'm so excited to share the wisdom in today's episode with you. So let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Intuition Conversations. I'm here with Dr. Karen Ward. Now, I need to tell you about Karen and all of the amazing ways she's showing up in the world right now. So Karen is a practicing psychotherapist and a counselor. She's a holistic practitioner. She's also an Irish Celtic shamanic energy therapist. She's the co-founder of the Shillian Cree School of Irish Celtic Shamanism with her husband, John. She's also the founder of the Moon Mana Women's Celtic Circles movement, because I really feel it's a movement. You are a teacher, you're an educator, and I've had the personal privilege of learning from you both through the medicine spiral of Irish Celtic Shamanism and also through my own Moon Mana learning as a circle facilitator. I am so, so pleased, and I feel so lucky that you're here with us to talk about the work that you're doing in the world and how intuition has woven its way through. I know so many people are awakening to their ancestry and their lineage, and so many of us share either by blood or by milk our lines of ancestry that drive our hearts to connect with Celtic lineage. So I know that you'll be speaking to so many hearts through our conversation today. So welcome, Karen, and I'd love for you to tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you're doing in the world at the moment.
Oh, thank you so much, Megan. It's an honor to be here and a privilege to talk to all the wonderful, wonderful women that you work with and people from all walks of life. I've once been described as a communicator, which surprised me. It was a journalist who was doing a piece on me, and I was ready with my formal title, shall you say. And this journalist summed it up and said, "You're a communicator." And I would add, a communicator of the heart. I have been described as a trailblazer, which has been a very nice way of being described. But I suppose I am aware that to a certain extent, my destiny call this lifetime has been to be at the cutting edge of an evolution of ancient ways. And I'm very conscious of standing on the shoulders of, in particular with Moon Mana, my foremothers, going back many, many moons, who would have not had the opportunity within the worlds they lived to express themselves, to practice, shall we say, their medicine ways in the way that you and I can freely, equal but different to our men folk. So that is a complete joy. And I'm also very conscious that it's been relatively recently since I've been able to merge the three aspects of what I do. And that would be my Moon Mana, my women's work, which would include rites of passage, my Irish Celtic shamanism work, which, as you have said, I am really, truly honored to do this with my husband. It's a very special calling. But also, I've woven in my academic work. I have completed a PhD there a couple of years ago, marrying, if you will, the counseling psychotherapy and the Irish Celtic shamanism. And it took me many years to be able to weave the three of them together in a triskle, if you will, the beautiful triple spiral. And it's really sitting well with me. And I think the timing is very right for that at the moment.
I think that is such a beautiful way of describing it. The Triskel, that triple spiral of experience and being able to weave it all together. I think I speak to so many people on this podcast who have, a number of different ways of showing up in the world. But I think there's a true beauty in being able to see the threads of how all of that weaves together and how they complement one another. And I'd love to hear a bit more about in the work that you do and in that combination, where does intuition sit? So what does that mean to you and how has that woven its way into your work?
Intuition has very much come to mean to me deep inner knowing of the heart as opposed to the head. Some people might refer to it as your gut feeling or as divine inspiration. And in the Irish Gaelic language, that would be imbus or imbus frosnioni was what the ancient Druids would have called it. And they would have been referring to it very much from the creative side of things. And intuition was something that was inherent in me as a little girl, playing with the fairies at the bottom of my grandmother's garden. And I thought everybody did this. Everybody knew about this. I was an avid reader. One of my grandfathers, that's definitely where it came from, but I was reading about Greek and Roman legends, Irish Celtic myths. I was reading very much into what I realize now would have been sacred ways, but they would have been wrapped up in fairy tales, myths, and legends. And around puberty, I would have realized that in between stage, I realized not everybody thinks like this. In fact, my early junior school friends had amazing creativity. They were so, we were in the drama group. And a lot of this are secret societies, you know, the Enid Blyton books, the way we played, the intuitive way we played, was ostensibly from our parents' perspective, should the children have great imaginations? But now I look back and realize the depth of what we were doing. I'm a Capricorn. I have a very logical and practical mind. So from my early teens to my late 20s, there was a period where I studied science in university. And it was all very logical, practical, rational when I was doing the scientific experiments, both in biology and chemistry. And the intuitive side was kind of knocked out of me, if you will, which it had to be at that time. And when I reflect and ponder on my life's journey, there was something important about that, the absence, the dearth of that, that was formative, even though at the time, I missed it, but I felt, maybe that's childish ways. And therefore, it was only when I rediscovered the holistic world, beginning with yoga, aromatherapy, Reiki, and I saw that, this has a place here. I mean, I've been fascinated with the greats of the psychotherapy world, some that would be readily known when you think of Carl Jung or Virginia Satir, Carl Rogers, the greats. Towards the end of their life, they would have been very much leaning on what I would call shamanic intuitive ways. And that's the full circle for me. In other words, now everything I do is intuitive and through that heart lens.
That's a beautiful way of describing it, there's been a pathway to there being no separation between intuition and how you live. But I think sometimes we have to experience the lack almost to then be able to compare and then bring that in and recognize the value of it. And I think, that focus on academia, that focus on the mind and on sort of on science and proof and black and white evidence can is what is sort of elevated in lots of different spaces, in lots of different cultures all over the world. And I think what I'm seeing almost a rise of now, which I think is really positive, is like the elevation of the intuitive and of intuition and of inner wisdom alongside the data and the science. And so can you tell us a little bit more in the triskel of your work, how you weave all of that together in your practice? And are there some times when, does intuition take over now?
A good question. I'm thinking of two ways. I had the honor and privilege to meet Maladoma Somei many moons ago. And he is an African man who now lives in America. And he would be, so they would call their shamans Sangoma. And he's a very interesting formative life because he, as a child, he was kidnapped and taken away to a school. And he didn't understand why his family didn't come to rescue him. And he realized that it was complicit in the African villages that the French clerics would kidnap the children, take them to schools and educate them. So he was fluent in French, he was fluent in English, to give them a better life. And the parents and the village elders, there was an understanding that this was giving their children a better opportunity. And long story short, he escaped back to his village and he went through their rites of passage, except he was a 19-year-old man and all the other little boys were around 11 or 12. But he's a great academic. He has a couple of PhDs and at least 3 masters. And I remember having the conversation with him and he said, you do know how intuition works academically. And I was going, yeah. And he told me this lovely example of going into the library, in his case, probably Berkeley or Harvard or somewhere like that. And he was stuck in writing a particular part of his thesis. And he goes to the library and he sends out a strong intention. Okay, I need some information on blah, blah. And the intuition comes back, second row on the left, third shelf, yellow spine. And he searches among the books, finds the yellow spine book, takes it out, at third chapter, page 4, boom, and there it is. Now, I have to confess, at this stage when I met him, I had been working immersed in Irish Celtic shamanism and had been teaching it for years. And even I had an element of, really? I was very familiar with the practice, which some of you may know, where you go into a library or a bookshop and literally a book would jump off the shelf going, me, I'm the one. So I was familiar with that. And I tried his practice and lo and behold, it works like a charm. And all the way through my PhD, the amount of synchronicities, intuitive practices was untold. I mean, it really was incredible how I got to have a major Irish university give me a doctorate of philosophy on Irish Celtic shamanism and counseling psychotherapy. I mean, I was very conscious of breaking ground in that. And there are a few of us and we're growing in numbers, which is really exciting. And then the second way is, Megan, it might sound different, but with the moon menaw, I have been fascinated with the moon since I was a child. And my mother had a beautiful practice, which was anytime any of us traveled in the world, she would say, and remember, I'm looking at the same moon and the same moon phase. But with the moon menaw, the women's circles in the early days were all of us gathering in community and speaking about subjects so dear to our hearts. And it might have been the mighty cauldron of our wombs, our breasts, our sexuality, our sensuality. But I remember walking in my beloved local park and literally what was downloaded, so you might even use the term which was channeled, this intuitive burst of inspiration to do with a specific goddess. And what was wonderful, a very practical, shall we say, form of how the rites were to be gifted. Now, awakening is perhaps a better term, because all of these gifts of the rites are inherent, dormant within us, like dormant seeds, and the gifter of the rites is merely awakening these dormant seeds. But that was, I suppose, they were two huge examples of intuition, one in the academic sphere and one in the Moon Menagh with the rites of passage. And I spent a long time going, is this my imagination? Who am I to come up with these? Will people laugh at me? However, with both those cases, and I'm spiraling back to the third beautiful aspect of what I do, within the Sliabh Cree, Irish Celtic shamanism work, I was so used to sitting on the land, and the wisdom of the land would literally seep up and inform me of the ancient ways. Therefore, I had a sacred guidance from the land, from my unseen guides, helpers, allies, whatever you want to refer them to, my ancestors, my the angelic realms, the deities of the land. Therefore, I could align that with my practical, rational, scientific training. And time again, I have been so blown away by students who come and they say, Karen, you've made the esoteric accessible because of these step-by-step explanations that make sense. And therefore, I recognize that my years in the wilderness in the scientific world with those formulaic ways of doing experiments aligned with my Capricorn practical ways. And yes, I'll wave my hand, OCD tendencies have actually come together to offer something in a way that, yeah, I use that word again, accessible. So intuitive ways are accessible through how they've come, been downloaded or channeled through me. And that is such a destiny call.
I mean, I can attest to that. Having learned and studied from you, and also being in, like, the way live in person in circle, and then also in the materials that you offer. Yeah, I can't describe it any better. Making the esoteric, the things that, like, you know, the spiritual, the things out in the ether, making that process of attunement with them accessible is absolutely what you do. And then allowing us to, in the case of Moon Menagh, rites of passage and circle facilitation, allowing that to then ripple out and to do that ourselves. Like, and that's that, the download, the transference of that download to you through your heart, and the amount of hearts that you're reaching through that combination of who you are and how you bring all of this to the world is really special. And I feel really fortunate to be able to be part of that. And to work your heart magic into the communities that I work with as well. I'd like to bring you back to something you said, and ask you a question about sort of like what blocks intuition and gets in the way. Because you said, even as you were channeling these rites of passage and communing with the land, that you had the question, like, is this my imagination, or who am I to go out to bring these things into the world? So what would you like, how do you decipher between imagination and intuition? And then how do you get over the, like, oh, either imposter syndrome or the inner critic or the lack of trust? Like, how do you then move beyond that to say, no, this is what I'm meant to do. This is that destiny call.
Oh, great question. Well, to me, imagination and intuition are inextricably linked. And if you will, imagination is the, shall we say, a simpler term, referring to intuition, whereas intuition in itself seems more, it can be more exotic, or can I access this? Where if there was a scale, imagination could be around the 1, 2, 3, and intuition could be up around the 7, 8, 9, 10. What's amazing is, particularly with Moon Manal, because I'm working with women, and we've turned up to be of service to the community, and we've turned up to raise the divine feminine to her rightful place, equal but different to the divine masculine, within us as women and within our menfolk. So the feminine and the masculine principle in everything. And over the years, I've worked with the most amazing women like you, Megan. Women who come to the training, they might be yoga teachers, or they might be Reiki masters, or they could be herbalists, or they might have no formal, it might be their first time to dip their toe into something of the sacred work. And the common denominator is the beautiful heart calling of being of service. And, you know, to turn up and to offer rites and to host and facilitate a circle is no mean feat. I mean, it's not just, oh, well, I'll sign up for a course and I'll just listen to it and that's fine. This requires you to host a circle at some point. And of course, I'm very much there to hold at women's hands, whatever stage they start at. But when women sign up, if you remember, there's 13 insightful questions that I ask to ponder. And two, I always note, and I'm paraphrasing, but they're on the, is there anything challenging that might get in the way of you fulfilling the course? And if there is, are there any habits or behaviors that you wish you've already noted are challenging? And time again, it's always the same. You've mentioned imposter syndrome. Am I good enough? Lack of self-worth, lack of self-confidence, overwhelm. Will I have enough time? I could literally say for the hundreds of women that I've trained, and this Moon Manal is specifically women. And I have had years to work with this. And I've come to realize that the lofty dream of Moon Manal to raise the divine feminine, equal but different, to bring the awakening of sacred rites, to help young women come into the sexuality, is also aligned with helping us overcome those blocks. And in fact, sometimes I would even say, maybe that's the main thing, because if we overcome that, then the others will all slot into place. And it's all about trust. And we've said it how many times already, it's trust in your heart, moving from your head to your heart, because our gorgeous little tiny ego human brains will ruminate till the cows come home and tell us, oh, I don't know, maybe you can't, or whereas our heart will just say yes, yes. And if we sit on the land, if we listen to Mother Earth, Father Sky, it's all there. And ta-da, intuition plays a huge part in this, because synchronicities, those gorgeous coincidences, the signs are always there, except we miss them. And I put this out to the listeners now. I'm not a betting woman, but if I was, I'm guessing that most of your listeners will have come across some sort of spiritual practice, whether it was a formal one that they were born into, be it Catholicism or a Muslim or the Jewish faith or whatever. And there will be some form of teaching of how to pray, how to ask for help, a deity, God, goddess, whatever, spirit. But very few spiritual or religious paths teach you how to hear the answer. And hello, it's intuition and synchronicities. I often think that we receive the intuitive bursts of inspiration in ways that are accessible to us and our personalities and our upbringing. Therefore, let me give you an example. So if you have someone who is being brought up in the Catholic faith and would see the true message of that, they might have a dream about Mother Mary, or they might read a passage in something like the Bible, whereas a Muslim might read something in the Quran. Do you get the idea? Whereas if somebody, perhaps like myself, is the nature-based path of spirituality, like I saw four ducks flying up our local river here the other day. I saw a seal underneath them. And that meant so much to me. Whereas to somebody else, they might have gone, really? It was just birds flying up a river. Hello. But what I'm working with in my life at the moment, the little conundrums that I'm thinking, what's that about? And suddenly four pillars, four directions, four seasons. It was, oh, yes. It meant something. And the seal in the river, again, they are there, but they would be rare enough. Again, the Selkie woman, the seal woman, the woman who transforms, who she appears in one form and then she morphs into another. She puts on her seal skin and she swims into the depths. Again, meant so much to me. So these are how the intuitive practices overcome the blocks. And it's all heart-led. And of course, our Celtic soul.
I had a beautiful synchronicity just yesterday, in the same way that, you know, we were driving from Surrey to Cornwall. We pulled over at a service station that we normally don't stop at. And I just ran in quickly to have a wee. And as I was walking back, there was just a bookshop in the service station. And side by side, there was a book on a book. It was something like, I don't know, it was something about healing. And then next to it was a book, which is an artist book, which offered opportunities for like scratch board, which is, you know, you just use a tool and you reveal colors behind. And you know, my dad, who left his physical body over the summer, he was an artist and he loved scratch board. And I was just walking through and I turned to the side and I saw these two books next to each other. One was basically slow down and heal. And the other was this beautiful book, the artist book, that reminded me straight away of my dad. And the kind of the whole ride down to that moment, I was sort of looking at the next sort of 2 months and kind of going through and thinking in my head, what do I want to offer in the world? How do I want to bring this out? Like thinking. And it was like those two books next to each other, buy one, get one free. I literally just saw them and I was like, a message from dad, a message from him saying, slow down, look after yourself, give yourself that permission. I was like, I'm buying these books. I went up and I brought them in and sat down next to my now fiance, sitting next to him. And I just, with tears in my eyes, and I just said, you know, I just felt like, you know, dad sent me this message to like actually sit down, do some creative stuff for myself this weekend and in the weeks. And within the next hour of the ride, when I just, you know, with those books sitting in the bag at my feet and just like being like, oh, I can just breathe and be a bit creative. Everything unlocked, right? Like I was no longer thinking, I was heart-led, held by my dad, my ancestors. And it was like, oh, of course, this is how you want to show up in the world in the next few months, for yourself first and foremost, and then for, you know, for your community and for other women. So I love that. Totally. And I think, you know, and Liz Dean, who I've had on the podcast before, she talks about nature being an oracle. And I think, yeah, like, you know, if you're connected to whatever you're connected to, right? Yeah. I think that's the language that your soul will speak in. And I love that. And, you know, Karen, you're just the most beautiful storyteller. So I'd love to hear about, you've mentioned Melodoma Sommet as someone who was sort of pivotal in your learning. Are there any other teachers or people or things that have inspired you along the way?
Oh, very many. I mentioned my grandmother and her garden, my mother introducing me to the moon, and the wonderful Kathleen Matthews over on your Celtic island. Absolutely amazing. I mean, what she and her husband John put out, I mean, the exquisiteness of their books are just really beautiful. I would think of Alberto Villaldo, the Cuban-American. Alberto came to Ireland once for his work, he calls it The Four Winds. And it was extraordinary. And he was so guileless about it. I mean, this guy's taught worldwide. And he came to Ireland. And before the class had even started, he saw myself and my husband, John, and he came over to us and he said, I wonder, would you work for he called it my faculty. And we hadn't even started the class yet, but he saw something in us. And I mean, obviously he's been doing this for a long, long time. So he can spot a mile away. But what was really sweet was this particular class was a 6-day affair. And after 4.5 days, he said, I'm going to be really honest with you all. He said, I've run out of material. And we were, really? And he said, yeah, because when I said, now we're going to do fire ceremony, all of us Irish went, oh, yeah, yeah, Halloween, Samhain, bonfires. Yeah, 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 we know that. Oh, okay. Now we're going to do water ceremony. Oh, yeah, the holy wells. Yeah, yeah, the patterns around the holy. Yeah, yeah, we know that. And he realized that he had been teaching second and third and fourth generation people for years in America, as you would. And in Ireland, we were all, he said, you're indigenous. And of course, we weren't really used to using that term. And we went, oh, yeah, yeah, we are very tuned into the land. So Bridget, the Celtic goddess, the pre-Celtic goddess, the saint, has been a huge inspiration for me. And it took me years to realize that my grandmother Kathleen, grew up in Kildare, which is where Bridget's monastic city was, and her wonderful mother, Julia, my great granny, and literally a stone's throw from Bridget's fire temple. And the runes are still there, the foundations. And her granny Kathleen's husband, Grandad Frank, he grew up in Clondalkin, which is in a suburb of Dublin, which also has a Bridget's well. And what's interesting, both Kildare and Clondalkin have a Bridget's well and a tower. So they have like a phallic symbol and then the cauldron, the womb of the well in the earth. But my other grandparents on my father's side are from Derry, which is Dira, which means the oak, which is the etymology of the word druid. And it took me many moons to figure out, my gosh, this is coming down both sides. And when I began my holistic studies, I was in my early 30s at that stage. I was wondering, where does this come from? I don't have any medical people. I don't have any big carers in the family. I don't have any, there's no nuns or priests, sacred people. And it took me a long time to figure out that both my grandmothers were intuitive. My granny Marjorie Ann would read the tea leaves for her women folk. My granny Kathleen was a banshee, a psychopomp. She could tell when somebody was going to die. And both of them, well, Granny Kathleen particularly had to shut that down because people were freaked out by it. And they didn't see it as the gift of the banshee. I'm giving you 3 days to get your affairs in order. They saw it as a kind of scary thing. And again, Granny Marjorie, this was something her women folk would come for tea and then they'd read the leaves. But again, it was all very covert. So both my grandmothers would be very, and my grandfathers as well, would be very informative. They would be the, how would you say? Yeah, they would be ancestors that would really work with me. Also, my grandfather's sister, who I never met in life, Winnie, Aunt Winnie, she was hugely a part of me stepping into being a shamanic therapist. Like, she would be by my side with her hand on her hip. I even have that now. And she would just nod like, yeah, come on, get on with it. So just off the top of my head, they are some of the amazing inspirations in my life.
Mm. I wondered if you could, if I could take you back to two things, or, well, take you back to one and then sort of flow off of what you said in terms of, you know, how another person who I also have met digitally works in your life. So I'd love to know a little bit more about, and probably some of the listeners would as well, about what shamanic therapy is. So let's start there, and then I'll come back with my second question.
Okay. So shamanic therapy is basically a way to work with a client's issue physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and energetically. So it's energetic work. If your listeners are familiar with Reiki, bioenergy, yoga, Tai Chi, they're on that sort of ballpark. And it's a bit of a travesty that we've come to our so-called highfalutin modern world, and it's all either physical or mental, emotional. And we have lost the capacity in our schools, within our medical system, even within our spiritual systems, to appreciate that we are energetic creatures. And within the Irish Celtic, your energy, your aura, is your vital essence, your soul essence. And we would have particularly worked with three chakras. The second chakra, so the cauldron of our womb, or it would be, say, in the Eastern traditions, the Hara or the Dantien for the men folk. The heart chakra, the cauldron of warming of heart. And then the medicine eye, the third eye, the sixth chakra. And there would have been awareness of other chakras, but the three cauldrons would have been really important. And when a client comes to me with an issue, their issue, Megan, could be physical. They could have a sore knee. It could be mental, emotion. It could be depression or anxiety. It might be to do with a relationship, a romantic one or a familial one, an ancestral one even. It could be energetic, a dearth of energy or a loss of energy or a hyperness to that. And we would work through what we would call Imrama. So Imrama are wonder voyages. And it's basically the Irish Celtic, a visualization, but not a visualization that the therapist leads you on. It's one that the therapist facilitates and the client goes on. So it's very much about empowerment of the client. They know exactly what's happening. They're completely aware and they can stop anytime. So that's really important. And I was very privileged with my academic studies and my holistic studies for years that I could listen intuitively to the download of a particular technique. It's called the energy therapy technique, which is an Irish Celtic shamanic way of working with counseling psychotherapy clients, where the therapist and the client are sitting opposite each other in a clinical situation. So there's no plinth, there's no feathers, there's no rattles. It's done through ostensibly visualization, but very much to the empowerment of the client, who understands and gets to the root of what is causing this challenge, this block, this unwellness within them. And they have an opportunity led by me and the people that I teach to do this of how to work through it, overcome it, burrow down under it, and a set of tools to continue with their life. So that would be an Irish Celtic shamanic technique married with counselling psychotherapy. So that would be something I would do in my clinic. With John in our Irish Celtic shamanic, Slian Cri, the way of the heart. I mean, what other name could it possibly have? We are privileged to teach people on the first spiral, which is called the medicine spiral. And that teaches people how to connect with themselves, how to self-heal, which is so vital. And then there's the second spiral, the mastery spiral, how to step into medicine ways, how to offer this to your environment, to the community at a very gentle level. And then the healer spiral, which is the third one, is where you step in. We teach you to be a shamanic therapist. And in that case, the client would be lying on a plinth, and there would be rattles would be used, and our mala naifa, which is the Irish Gaelic for your sacred bag or your sacred bundle. Now, so many traditions over the world have their version. Sometimes you hear it called a mesa, which is a little altar, or a crane bag is another word. There's different terms for it. Little pouches of sacred objects. And so that would be how it would come across. It's very practical, Megan, because it has to be. What I love about the modern evolution of this is back in the day, I would come to you, Megan, with my bag of Brussels sprouts or my chicken, and I would say, please, Sangoma, medicine woman, shaman, druid, please help me. You'd take my energetic offering, lie me down, you'd do your medicine ways. I would have no clue what you were doing, but afterwards I'd get up and I'd feel great. Now I feel better, but I've no idea why I feel better. And I've no idea about, will I slip back into the old ways of thinking or the old behaviors, which might create this challenge again? Whereas with the modern evolution, the client is completely aware of where the blockage came from, how they overcame it, and most importantly, how to prevent the behaviors or the non-behaviors that led to it in the first place. And I feel that's, I feel so excited about that, because it's as you say, the old, the ancient and the new combining to gift us ways of accessing these natural medicine ways of being, spiritual ways of being that are readily put into place in our lives. And some of my clients, both counting psychotherapy clients and shamanic clients, are fascinated when I might ask them, what are you eating? How are you sleeping? Do you exercise? And they're going, huh? Hang on, I thought this was energetic. I thought this was spiritual. I'm going, it is, but we are holistic beings. This beautiful shell that we live in houses our Celtic soul, and we need to look after it. And I love that.
That is such a wonderful explanation of that. And I've learned a bit, because I've kind of always wanted to ask you about what that intention is. Now I want some.
Wonderful.
And you mentioned John, your husband, and that was the other question I wanted to bring up. So what is it like to develop an intuitive offering in the world with a soul partner? And working intuitively with a person who's also working intuitively. And I guess also how, you know, do you feel that your work is like almost a representation of that balancing of the masculine feminine made visible in this world? So I'm that's what it looks like to me. And that's what it feels like.
Right. You both. Your intuition is spot on. I fell in love at first sight with this remarkable man, John Cantwell, at the tender age of 36. Now, if somebody had told 17-year-old me, you're going to have to wait until you're 36, I would have been appalled. And I can safely say I had a wonderful life until I was 36. But when I met John, I realized actually how lonely I was. But I didn't know it because I had nothing to compare it with. He's an extraordinary man, and we complement each other. I'm very earthy, practical Capricorn. He is the beautiful, airy, upper world Aquarian. And Capricorns and Aquarians aren't a natural astrological mix. However, we both have a moon in Taurus, which really is that beautiful sacred cement, so to speak. And John is an educator. He was trained as a physical educationer and English teacher. That was his degree. And he literally ran away with the circus and he became an actor, a top actor, theatre, film, TV. But he's a born teacher. And actually, I am as well. So what happened in both our worlds was people would say, John, sorry, I missed that. Can you tell me how to do that? So that he began to teach the other actors, and he was asked to set up the film and TV section of one of the major theatrical schools here in Ireland. And that's when we met. I actually went to one of his classes because I loved drama as a kid in school. And so he was my teacher for a week. Now, we could be here for hours if I told you the synchronicities and the intuition that went on that week. But needless to say, it was a week of a very particular solar eclipse, shall we say. That gives you an idea. But what I love about the shamanic way of living is it's this giant umbrella that encompasses so much of many esoteric ways of working. John is very much a drummer. I'm very much a crafter. I'm very drawn to the women's way of working. He's very drawn to working with the land in land clearing. So that there's different, shall we say, sections that we would be naturally drawn to. But when we finished our training with Alberto Villaldo and then the wonderful Martin Duffy in the Irish Shamanic Centre here in Meath, we got a huge calling to find out what are the Celtic and pre-Celtic ways, because actually nobody was doing it. Amazingly enough, Martin was teaching beautiful core shamanism course, and obviously Alberto Villaldo was teaching Cuban, American, Peruvian. And we sat and we listened to the land for the inspiration for this. And I'll be completely honest with you, Megan, I was shocked when the intuition that came to me was, John's taking the lead on this. You're the wind beneath his wings. And I was, what? I have spent years training at this and I've come to my divine feminine. And it was, it's okay. This is the way it needs to be. There is a reason. So I came down from the sacred mountain we were tuning in, and I said, John, you're not going to believe this. And I told him, and he went, yes, I know. And I said, what? Why didn't you tell me? And he said, how was I going to tell you? And what happened was something extraordinary. So in the very first course we taught, we're sitting side by side in the room, and we have all these students around us in a circle, and he's leading with the teaching. And I'm sitting there, my head is fried, thinking, the students are going to think, you know, she's just sitting there, it's all about him, blah, de blah. And something extraordinary happened within the first hour. And one of the students put their hand up and she said, I have wanted to study this for a long time. And I was really drawn to the two of you. And she said, I am so emotional when I see the activity of the divine masculine and the wise sitting of the divine feminine in front of me. And John and I looked at each other and we went, oh my goddess. This, having been so inspired by the moon over the years, I was missing the deep feminine, the sitting, the wisdom, the kalyak, the crone, the hearing, the holding space. And of course, with all my psychotherapy training, I realized, I'm even get emotional talking about it, but I was holding the space for them. I didn't need to be the talker all the time. And that was huge for both of us. And we have sat side by side for years, but it was a huge learning for me because my masculine side was very much to the fore. And I needed, as you have beautifully said there, your guidance from your beloved father for the winter is to be. And sometimes we modern women can miss that so much. And that comes through with Moon Manal. And Jan and I we're a normal couple. We love each other to bits, but we could be having a beautiful heated row about something. He's very much a pacifist. I'm the fiery redhead. We are very much a normal couple, but our whole life is informed by the sacred spiritual and the land and the synchronicity. And we sometimes we have to wait for our next marching orders. Literally, the intuitive inspiration comes through as, okay, this is your next move, or this is the course we want you to teach, or this is. And sometimes, Megan, like, we're laughing, the mastery spiral is a new offering we have. How did we miss the triple spiral? For years we've been offering two spirals. The third spiral, of course, it was so obvious, and yet we missed it until now. So I'm very privileged to be on this path with my husband. But at the same time, I'm conscious that loads of people come to this, our trainings, both women and men, singly. And they're, you know, I'm thinking of one amazing medicine woman, and her partner is an accountant. And she couldn't do this work without him providing the home for them and their children. And there's another wonderful fella, and he does this work, and his wife is a nurse. And she, you know, she sees how inspiring this is for him. She doesn't completely get it, but she appreciates and is the wind beneath his wings. So therefore, we all come in different shapes and sizes, and it's whatever mix comes to the fore. Some people's children are hugely a part of their journey, and many Moon Manal have told me how their children with the fairy rites or the Bridget's fire blessing, and with our shamanic circles, many say how their children intuitively start their own Mala Nefa, their own medicine bag, which is inspired again the children's intuition.
So in terms of following the way of the heart and following your intuition and growing, you know, remembering and recalling and then re-strengthening in your, from your 30s onwards, this intuitive muscle, what would you say have been the biggest benefits of living life in this way?
I can't conceive of a life without it. Now, I mean, I mentioned I recognized there was a loneliness. Now, I'm a very outgoing person. I have plenty of friends, wonderful family. Like, I wasn't sitting in a room on my own by any means, but there was something missing, something vital at a soul level. And I'm conscious that, the intuition, as I suppose to spiral back to what we started with, is a vital part of my life. That I do a practice called Charminus, which is morning ritual, but I have an evening morning ritual, if you will, and it's particularly when I'm out walking in nature. Now, I live in Dublin City, and that surprises a lot of people that John and I do. Granted, we spend a lot of time down in the wilds of West Cork, But the life, I mentioned the swans and the seals in the River Liffey. It's a small city where you're looking at the mountains by the sea and vice versa. And the daily inspiration that comes, it's a moving throughout the world and my life in a very conscious way, with the subconscious informing me. So it's like a dual conversation. I'm here talking to you, but I'm also very aware of what's dropping from my head into heart to say. I mean, there's some things I'm sharing with you that I had no intention of sharing, but they need to be said. And sometimes when that happens, somebody's going, oh, I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that. And I am not aware of who you are, but I have no doubt somebody out there, something I've said maybe about swans or seals that really means something to them. And I'm trusting that that intuition that comes through, it needs to be said at this time. Therefore, it's a conscious way of living that is such an honor.
I love how you described it, a conscious way of living informed by your subconscious. I think that's a really beautiful way of where that intersection of intuition comes up, and how it gets woven into every part of your day. I usually ask people, like, can you tell a story about connection to intuition? And you've given us so many stories. And I suppose I'd love to ask a little bit more about the land and about some of the sacred places that you have been drawn to intuitively in Ireland, and some of the intuitive stories that you could tell us about your, you know, as you know, are there places you've been drawn to by intuition, or like research first and then intuition, or intuition, like you said, like academically, like led you to somewhere and then you went there physically and you were like, oh my goodness, like I didn't even know that how much I needed to be here. You speak so wonderfully, and also through the Sacred Celtic Oracle deck, which involves so many beautiful sacred places, and the Moominagh journal as well, which weaves in practices. I mean, please do feel free to talk about those things because I love them and use them on a daily basis.
Oh, thank you.
Can you talk a little bit more about the land and the sacred places and how, you know, intuition has led you to places and what's happened when you've been there?
Yeah, it's funny. I was brought to Tara, the Hill of Tara, as a child in school, and we'd quite an eccentric geography teacher. And I loved history, and they had, I suppose, to use the terminology, they bigged up the Hill of Tara because it obviously meant a lot to this woman. And when we arrived, I mean, I don't know, was I 13, 14? I saw this big field. Now, there was a few kind of indentations and roundy hillocks, but I don't know what I thought I was going to be greeted by the High Kings of Ireland and their queens. And it was, oh, it's a field. But something, And I've always been drawn to the mountains. And we don't have particularly high mountains in Ireland, but I'm very much a forest, earthy, mountainy. So I was very blessed as children. Every Sunday was family day, family outing. And we were brought to Glendalough, beautiful still place. We were brought to the Wicklow Mountains, the Dublin Mountains. Now also the beaches and football games and rugby games and all as well. But my parents had a real sense of bringing us to those places. And there was something about them. I would always wander off by myself. And I didn't know what it was. I mentioned the fairies at the bottom of my granny's garden. However, the first time I really stepped into this was when I met John. Within 6 weeks of meeting this extraordinary man, he said, there's somewhere I want to bring you to. And I told you we met at the solar eclipse. And 6 weeks later, we were down in Alahees in West Cork on the Beara Peninsula. I had never been there. And we drove down. I remember my mother saying to me, are you sure? you've only just met this guy. And I said, Mom, this is important. So we drive down and he stops at the edge of the village on a pass. And he stops the car, we get out, and we look down at this beautiful Irish little village by the sea, beautiful little beach. And I know that if this relationship is going to work, I have to love this place. It's unspoken. And it was the new millennium. It was the 1999. And we were there watching the last setting sun of the old millennium. And who knew that all these, the BBC, RTE, Sky News, all these TV trucks arrived, because they knew this was the most westerly point of the last setting sun. John and I didn't know. We've returned to this place time and time again. This is in my bones. We can see the Skelligs. And it is said from the Skelligs, that they're these two wild mountains. If you have any Star Wars fans, they will know that, surprise, surprise, in the whole world, where is the source of the Force? Skellig Michael. And it is said that there's two huge energetic, almost like DNA strands, the male and the female, and they intersect at Skellig Michael. Surprise, surprise, near you, St. Michael's Mount in Cornwall, Mont Saint-Michel in northern France, down through France, Italy, Greece, to Mount Carmel in Israel. And we are tripping over stepping sacred circles, stone circles, dolmens. The energy zings off the land. And the Hag of Bearer Stone, the Kaliak, the wise old crone, informs this land. It's wild, it's windy, it's the most. And when I was a kid, some people remember that there was a comic book for girls called The Mandy. You know, The Mandy, The Bunty, whatever, The Jackie. And these were like for teenage girls. And in The Mandy, there was a story of this girl who was called Valda. And Valda was this young girl. And you gathered she was like a time traveler. She was of Greek origin, maybe. And she used to have this little pouch with a crystal in it. And in the stories, Valda would come across some situation where people needed help. And as a young girl, she would help and heal whatever was going on. And then she would lose her power. She would start to age and she'd take the crystal out of her pouch and she'd hold it up to the sun. And she would be renewed, ever young. I was fascinated by this. And this place is that for me. I need, you know, John and I have been honored. We've traveled to North, South America. We've traveled to Australia. We've traveled all over Europe to bring the Irish Celtic medicine ways. And wonderful colleagues of ours have, one couple are in the south of France, another are in the south of Spain, somebody else is in Italy. So they've gone to places of retreat to live. But we know Ireland is the source. We have to be here. And we will travel like the spokes of a great wheel. And we'd be very happy to bring our medicine. But this is the source for us in this lifetime. And in fact, many lifetimes. It's so real. The Hill of Tara, I've gone back there. The Hill of Ward, Clocta, the lesser known goddess, is where Samhain began. And my name is Ward. And it means Nicon Bard, daughter of a bard. So no wonder I'm telling all these stories, Megan. Slieve Gullion up the north, another Kaliak. The Hill of Ishnach, Eru, the goddess who gave her name to the land. There are so many beautiful sacred sites that really speak to my soul. And I've no doubt even more that I haven't even discovered yet.
Oh, that's amazing. And I resonate with everything you said. And I feel and have felt really that there are no coincidences where the heart leads. And my heart has led me to fall in love with a Cornish man who who brought me to this land about 18 months ago. And from even before I came down to see him for the first time, I, for whatever reason, I'd never done this before, and it was before beginning my Irish Celtic studies, I went and did a bunch of research about ancient sacred places in Cornwall and ordered a bunch of books to his house. And he's like, you haven't even come to visit me yet. And I'm having packages arrive for you. just trust the process. And I remember just opening those books and realizing that actually his house is 5 minutes away from Standing Stones, another 5 minutes away from the oldest stone circle in Cornwall, from what I call the Feminist Well, the Dewpath Well, which has a beautiful story behind it, and is about 10 minutes away from Bodmin Moor and the Hurlers, which are three concentric circles, which for me are in the shape of the goddess with the cheese ring behind it. So I remember saying to him, on my first trip, I was like, do you know you live at like the epicenter of all these magical places? And then not to mention that if we go travel down into Cornwall, we go to St. Michael's Mount and we have a number of stone circles and standing stones down there. And he's like, he's a Cornishman proper, like Redruth born. And he's like, I had no idea. I've never seen, he's like, I think I maybe have seen these things from driving around, but I've never paid attention to them. And so we began our little mini pilgrimages during lockdown together. And I was standing, very soon after meeting him, just about a month after meeting him, standing in the center of the Hurlers circles and saying, looking at him and saying, you are it. I have been waiting for you for lifetimes. I will be with you. This is deeply from the land, like almost like this electricity coming up through the land and looking at him and saying, yes, this is a wholehearted yes. And that was, that was feels like a lifetime ago now, but it was probably only, a year and a half or so. And we actually said very soon after that, we traveled to St. Michael's Mount and we did a commitment ceremony and a ritual together about 2-3 months after we had met. And we both beautiful. Read bracelets. And so like, that's, it's like, I hear the call of these places is so strong and it's a great privilege of mine to be able to bring women to these places to be deeply held by the land in their own transformation and in their own connection to intuition. So thank you for allowing me to share that story. But
so beautiful. And, I often think about myself as the child and Tara, and bringing the Moon Menaw and the John and I hold an international circle for a week every second year with Shillian Cree. And Moon Menaw, we have our annual week. And it's about bringing people to the sites, to bring them alive, to help them tune in to what the land is saying to them. Because but for the want of, so many times people have told me, oh my gosh, I made the major pilgrimage of my ancestors come to Ireland and I stood at the airport and I stood in Dublin City and I stood on these places, and it didn't, I just couldn't access it. It didn't, how do I get in? And it's take my hand. Yes, it's here. Just be still, be still. It's all here. So yeah, I really hear you. So beautiful.
I can't wait to come back to Ireland. I've been a few times and it is kind of what I do whenever I travel somewhere now that we're able to travel a little bit more is, I'm deeply called to the places where people have been gathering for millennia. And so I always do a little, I was in Mallorca and I was like, ooh, where are the sacred places in Mallorca? Where are these at? I want to go to them. I want to go see them. I want to, with respect and with awe, I want to, go to places where people have been bringing the contents of their heart for ages. And I think that, that energetic vibration of that history, and I think, it's there and often cracks our heart even further open. And so I look forward to seeing you in person someday soon.
I do too.
On the sacred land. So, just two more questions, Karen. The first would be, to sort of sum up our conversation, what beautiful words of advice might you have for someone who is curious about the way of the heart, and in particular curious about connecting to lineage and ancestry and intuition? What kind of advice would you give them?
Very much to be still, to find away in your probably busy life to, it might be a walk, it might be lounging in the bath, it could be through a yoga class or meditation class. But if it's in nature, even more so. And it could be your back garden or the local park. And to very much come from the place of the wonder of a child with the wisdom of an adult. You're bringing yourself back to that beautiful, wondrous, innocent, wide-eyed, you're seeing what's in front of you. And, you know, synchronicities can come in many ways. It could be a sign on the bus whizzing by. It could be three people in quick succession mention a certain film or a certain book. And you go, something about, I've got to watch that film, or I've got to read that book. And there'll be something in there that is for you, a message. And I think it's really important to have a really good sense of humor and not take ourselves too seriously. And there might be an element of, oh, come on, this is a bit mad, but go with it. And how do you know it's not your imagination, as we call it, and it is intuition? In other words, in our journeys or in the synchronicities, if there's something unusual, for example, many people could have gone into that service station and seen those two books, and it wouldn't have meant anything. But you knew this particular scratch art meant something to your father, and then the other, the self-healing. Therefore, the messages are very personal. And if anybody's ever played tennis or any sort of sport, if you hit the center of the tennis racket, it's the sweet spot, ding, or the hurl or the whatever. If you hit the edge of the racket, it'll jar. So you're looking for that sweet spot, that yes, that heart-centered soul moment, boom. And it's unequivocal. I mean, you can't not know it. Sometimes men and women come into my clinic and they sit in front of me and they go, how will I know if she's the one? How will I know if he's the one? And I would say, if you have to ask me, it's highly unlikely. Because you know when you know. And it's exactly the same with this. I mentioned love at first sight. I think there's two ways of falling in love. Soul recognition at first sight, or the delicious slow dawning. Oh, beautiful. And so it is the same with spiritual ways. Some of us are catapulted into big spiritual experiences that are, whoa. And some of us have the slow, delicious dawning, where you hear something and you read something and you experience something, and then suddenly you meet a circle, you're in your tribe. And it you know, I was talking to a yoga teacher recently, a new yoga teacher, and I was a little bit shocked when she didn't mention anything spiritual. It was the physical movements, and it was the relaxation of the mind. And I said, well, what about the spiritual? And she said, what's spiritual? And she said, well, now I'm teaching yoga. She said, I'm not a Hindu or a Buddhist. And I thought, oh my gosh, was it like that for me back in the day? Now the spiritual is woven into everything I do, inextricably linked. So whether it's the straight in at first sight or whether it's the delicious dawning, they're both the same. And in fact, they often come in ways that are most easy for us to ease into.
I love that description. That is absolutely beautiful. The wonder of a child combined with the wisdom of the adult, hitting that sweet spot of love at first sight, held by intuition, or the you know, delicious slow dawning. Beautiful, beautiful words. Thank you. And so, if someone wants to work with you or to get to know more about the work that you're doing, what are the best ways to connect with you, Karen?
So I have three websites. Can you believe this? Moonmana.ie, and it's spelled MNA. It's the Irish Gaelic for women. So Moon Women. And the website has a number of different courses I offer. Some women join my lunar gatherings once a month, and some sign up for the self-paced, either the moon ritual self-ceremonies or the goddess spiral of the year course. And they're very, all three are around 15, 20 euro each session. So it's very affordable. The one that's most precious to my heart is the Moon Manas Circle Facilitators course, the one that you're on, Megan. And that's me teaching women how to facilitate their own circles, host their own circles. And that is, yeah, it's all documented there on the website and it's all online. The shliancroi.ie, so that's shliancroi.ie. That's the Pathway of the Heart. That's myself and John. And we have, people can access our drum circle. They can do that suggested once a month. We do our medicine spiral and our mastery spiral and our healer spiral once a year. And we've already just started that in November. But the introduction to Irish Celtic Shamanism is there available, self-paced, if anybody wants to do that. And it's a lovely, it's a 6 hour, you know, in 3 2-hour blocks. And it's a beautiful way to dip your toe in. And sometimes people do that because they have Celtic lineage. So my great granny came from Ireland, blah, 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 or somewhere in the Celtic Isles. But we often, I often think of a wonderful woman from, she was from Lithuania. And ostensibly, she had no lineage of Ireland. But my, did this woman have Celtic soul? So sometimes, as you said, it can be your milk line or your bloodline. It can be a lineage or which is spiritual or actual ancestry. And then my third website is Dr. Karen Ward Therapist. So that's DrKarenWard therapist.ie. And that's where if anybody is a counselor or a psychotherapist or a psychologist or indeed a holistic therapist, I have an introduction to Irish, an introduction to energy therapy. And then I will teach you to be a shamanic therapist through that way. But you do have to have already a core course in counseling, psychotherapy, psychology, or be a very well qualified holistic therapist for that. John and I, in the healer spiral, we teach people who have no previous experience. So that would be on the shliancroi. So three different websites. But also, do you know what? I'm on Instagram with shliancroi and Moon Manas and Dr. Karen. And there's always daily tips, daily videos for free. And it'll feed your Celtic soul. There's many different ways to step in. Whichever calls to you is the way to go.
Well, thank you for that reminder. I think you've spoken and awoken the Celtic soul and probably every listener. If you didn't know you had a Celtic soul, I'm guessing that.
You do now.
I think I do now. Yeah. So thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, and for sharing the beautiful stories and, you know, and who you are with us, because I really just, you know, I think that who you are and how you show up throughout everything you do, throughout that beautiful triple spiral of the work that you do is so wonderful and so authentic. And I'm, you know, I'm just so grateful our paths have crossed in this lifetime and probably many others. So,
well, there you go, Megan. And like, you know, I really appreciate you give me the opportunity to talk to your community and, you know, there you're mentioning the oracle cards and the books. In fact, thinking about it, the Soul Seers book, our shamanic book, is 13 people speaking artistically in how coming into this path, what has this meant to them. So that's also something that people could consider if they're interested and they want to find out, well, how do other people, even the Goddesses of Ireland, the new book, it's 39 women speaking of how the archetypal energies of the goddesses inform their everyday lives. And, you know, I think again, I'm spiraling back to my practical nature. It's all very well to have highfalutin spiritual ideas, but if they don't mean anything in your everyday life, well, you know, they're great, but they can be so much more. So thank you so much for the opportunity, yes, to spread the word, so to speak.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been the Intuition Conversations with Dr. Karen Ward.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it spoke to your heart and inspired you to connect to your own intuition. Check out the show notes for more information on the things discussed in this episode and details of how to connect with our amazing speaker. I would love to hear your feedback, and you can find me over at Koya with Megan on Instagram and on my website, meganfield.com. I would adore it if you would leave a review, and please don't forget to hit follow if you want the Intuition Conversations to automatically be on your phone every week. I can't wait to speak with you on the next episode.